Session number 21294, Reel 3.
Glyph Reel 3. You were saying you joined...
We joined the Eastern Fleet, which is based at Trincomalee.
What kind of ships had you what kind of planes had you taken out to Cochin?
Corsairs, mainly.
Any incidents that happened
Corsairs and Avengers, what do I call?
Any incidents that happened on that voyage to Cochin?
No, it was very pleasant, actually. Across the Pacific, through Australia, and then up to Cochin, we had no problems. But then, when we joined the fleet at Trincomalee, then the action started. We were out all the time. With the fleet bombarding around Malaya in the Andaman Sea, and all the areas occupied by the Japs.
What were your duties aboard the Shah?
The same on the aircraft.
Were you in action at all?
Oh yeah, loads of it. These in the Andaman Sea was all the islands around the Andaman Sea were all occupied by the Japanese, and it runs along the coast of Malaya, and that was our battleground. To get in the Andaman Sea and bombard all these places. And of course the Japanese kamikaze were there all the time. All the action was gun barrages, to keep these kamikaze lads out of range. Well, they had to keep out of range, but they just cruised around on top of all this gunfire, and then occasionally one would come down, boom, aim for one of the ships, and very often they landed, especially on the carriers.
Did any hit your ship?
Shah didn't get hit, no. No. But when I said about the Shah not coming back to the Clyde for this ball race, it was sent out to Colombo, to the dockyard, Colombo. So we had to go in dock to get this thing fitted there, you see. And so everything, we got it in dock and everything, and when they opened the case that this thing was in, or supposed to be in, it wasn't there. It had been sabotaged, gone. So we never did get that ball race, whatever it was.
What's a ball race?
It's something that goes in the engine room, you know.
Who'd done the sabotage?
Well, of course, we don't know.
Who do you think might have done it?
Well, there was a lot going on, around that area of the world. Everything was, there was a lot of sabotage going on. Just don't know what happened, but we never did get that thing fitted. I think it was on the first action that we went on in the fleet. And halfway there, the engine stopped, and we were just floating about like a cart. The fleet sailed on and just left us behind. And we were bobbing about on the waves there, until eventually they got the thing going again. But it took hours. They reckon that again was sabotaged because we'd refuelled at Ko Chin when we unloaded these planes, and they reckon there was salt water in the fuel, which eventually got through and stopped the engines. But anyway, they sorted it out, and we caught up with the fleet, or rejoined them later. And nothing untoward happened mechanically after that. But we were doing a lot of reconnaissance work, U-boat hunting that our squadron were engaged in, hunting for U-boats mainly. But it was our squadron who spotted a Japanese battleship coming up the Malacca Straits into the Andaman Sea, and they called for reinforcements and had a go at this battleship, and then the fleet took over, destroyers went in, and this battleship was sunk in the Malacca Straits.
What kind of planes were these? What kind of planes were these?
Planes? Avengers. And Avengers. We had a squadron of Avengers, which were the bombers, and a squadron of Hellcats, which were fighters, Americans. So we were still there at the end of the war. That's 2 years we'd been there, based at Sinkamalee. And it's not the best place in the world to be.
Why not?
Well, it's so hot and horrible, there was nothing to go ashore for. It was just a shanty town, really. The actual harbour area was quite picturesque, you know, there was all lagoons. It was a natural harbour. Because they were able to put a boom across the entrance, and then there was lagoons all over the place where ships could moor, anchor. And that part, that side of it was okay. We were able to swim over the side and that sort of thing, you know, but there was nothing ashore. All there was really was a canteen. A naval canteen, and we used to get beer tickets 2 a week that we could spend at this canteen. Had 2 bottles of beer a week. Anyway, the war, VJ Day came and went. But we're still going out to the Andaman Sea because the Japs there just wouldn't pack up, whether they knew or not, don't know, but they just wouldn't give in, even after VJ Day.
In the Andamans?
Yeah, Andaman Islands.
So was the Shah damaged by enemy action at any stage?
No, we escaped. We escaped enemy action, but after overcoming all the engine room failures and what have you. And then when we did come home, my group for demob had gone. You know, we were late being demobbed, really. But we got back to the Clyde through the Suez Canal and the Med and the Clyde. And then, of course, back to depot from the Clyde, back to depot at Plymouth. Except for a skeleton crew, which they kept aboard, to take the Shah back to America. Because they were least land things, these escort carriers, you see.
Were you in the skeleton crew?
No, no, it was the regular fellas that, you know, the regular Navy fellas that were kept for that job. I was only HO, hostilities only, you know. So it was a case of back to barracks and demob routine and home.
When you were ashore in Casablanca, what was that like?
Casablanca, we didn't go ashore there. Well, we couldn't go ashore. Casablanca was all in flames. The American fleet had gone in there the day before and battered the some of the French Navy ships were in there. And the big battleship, the Jean Bart, was on fire right at the top of the harbour. And it was a long approach to the harbour. And going up there, there were ships lying all over the place, sunk on the side. End up, the Americans had certainly battered them, you know, and so we were only there overnight for fueling mainly, you see. Once the Venomous had got refueled the next day, we were off. But I was in such a state with my leg that say they put me in a straitjacket and they had to lower me onto the Venomous, and then they had to lower me down into a mess deck. So we got to Jim, and that was about the worst part of the war, as far as I'm concerned.
Which was your happiest ship in the war?
The happiest one, I should say, was the Heckler. It was a happy ship. It was well known as a happy ship, but of course it didn't live long, you see. It was less than 2 years old when it was sunk.
Which was your unhappiest ship?
I don't know. I suppose the Fame must have been, but that was my first ship, and it was rough. You couldn't say it was happy to be on board them things.
How do you feel now about having served in the Navy in the war?
I've always felt that, rough as it may have been, and glad as we were to get out. And, of course, like everybody else, I said I wouldn't, you know, that's it, I wouldn't join a Christmas club in future. But I've always felt that Navy experience set me up for life.
Why?
I don't know. I think the discipline and, you know, the for the discipline for mainly was a very good thing. Makes you appreciate what life's all about.
Did you make a full recovery from the wound?
Well, I did get, it was a permanent disability. I did get a small pension. It was 9 and 6 pence a week for 2 years, and then a £20 pay down. Finished. That was because it was classed as a 20% disability.